This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop a real faith for the real world. This was recorded in a live service at Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. We hope it will help you grow in your faith. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
With me to Matthew chapter 5, and I saw a movie in 1972 called Alive. How many of you were not alive in 1972? Raise your hand. Dear God. That's scary, isn't it? All us old folks went, wow, there's a lot of them. Alive. Anyway, you could probably rent it for free on Netflix or something now. It's a story. It's a story of, I think it was a Chilean soccer team that was flying over the Andes Mountains, and they crashed. Yeah, some of you remember it now. And so then they crashed, and when they crashed into the mountain, they weren't dressed for the winter there. So they had tennis shoes on and soccer kind of outfits on and stuff, you know, and some street clothes in their baggage and everything. Anyway, they were stuck in the mountains, and while they were stuck in the mountains, they had to find a way to survive. So it got to the point where they were up there so long that they were starving to death, so they had to eat the bodies of the dead from the plane wreckage. And they did so. They were rescued eventually because a few of them clothed themselves and climbed 38 miles through the Andes Mountains and found someone to come get them and rescue them after 72 days in the mountains, eating their friends and loved ones. That's good. That's some good brotherly fellowship right there. How hungry do you have to be in order to eat your friend? Right? You got to be pretty hungry, right? Don't you think so? Huh? Can you ever think of a circumstance when you would ever eat your friend? Just like, with no bacon on him. You know, I mean, bacon makes everything taste good, but, you know. So the idea here is there are times in our lives when we have to have this hunger that can't be satisfied by anything in this world. So if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, I want to talk to you about the hunger. About the hunger. Jesus says this, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." Hunger is kind of a funny thing in that hunger is seen in the Old Testament as a curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47, it talks about the curse of hunger and how hunger comes upon us because we don't recognize what we have in good times. Verse 47 reads like this, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you." Isaiah chapter 29, verse 8, speaks of a different kind of thing about hunger. It speaks about this hunger that will come upon the people as an act of judgment or as an act of a curse. But this hunger comes with the idea that there's a frustration that you can't fill it. You see, because we cannot escape hunger. Hunger is something that is natural within us. We cannot escape it. No matter how much we try to distance ourselves, put mind over matter, we still have to have this hunger on the inside. And so in Isaiah 29, it says this, "The hordes of the nations that fight against Ariel," and that's another name for Jerusalem, "that attack her and her fortress and besiege her will be as it is with a dream, with a vision in the night, as when a hungry man dreams that he is eating, but he awakens and his hunger remains. Or as a thirsty man dreams that he is drinking, but he awakens faint with his thirst unquenched." The thought here is that hunger is seen as a curse or a judgment in the Old Testament. It's seen as something that brings frustration and demonstrates the emptiness and the judgment of God on our life. That hunger points to that. And yet, hunger, we see, is not only a curse, but it is seen as an ally to us. Hunger becomes an ally. In Proverbs chapter 16, it tells us that the appetite of the laborer works for him, or rather, drives him on. In other words, the appetite, because you're hungry, you work, right? How many of you go to work because there's a check on Friday? Huh? So some of you don't? Right? So you're telling me no paycheck, you still go to work? No way. Jose, no way. No paycheck, no ticky, no washy. That's the way it works, right? Right? No ticky, no washy. You don't pay me, I don't show up for work. I show up at some other place where they do pay me. That's the way it works, right? That's life, right? So the appetite of the laborer works for him. It drives him on. It puts him in a specific direction. It makes him work hard. Remember in the very famous parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son has gone off. He's got his inheritance. He's gone off to spend his father's fortune. He goes out into the sinful world. He spends it on prostitution and partying and all kinds of stuff. He spends all this money on all these things. And then it is not until he is hungry that he realizes he has to go back to father's house. Remember? He's sitting in the pigsty. The pigsty wasn't clue enough. You see? Sometimes the pigsty is not clue enough. The pigsty wasn't clue enough. Being surrounded by people who don't care for him, that wasn't enough. But suddenly he's hungry, and as he's slopping the hogs, as he's feeding them, he suddenly realizes, and the scripture tells us that he says out loud, he says, "In my father's house, all the servants have plenty to eat." It is his hunger on the inside of his belly that drives him back to his father's house. So while hunger is a curse, and hunger is judgment, and hunger is something that works against us, hunger also works for us. It prods us on, it pushes us in a direction, and it moves us towards God sometimes. And so this idea of hunger is something that's in us. It's innate on the inside of us. There is something in the inside of us that cannot be separated from that hunger. Now, you can do mind over matter. I've gone on, I think the longest fast I ever went on was 9 days of a fast. But you can go for a certain while. I can go, evidently, 9 days, but I can't go much longer than that. And on the 9th day, I was a hungered, as the scripture would say. I was hungry after 9 days. Now, some people are so spiritual, they get to the place where they're not hungry during their fasting. I'm not one of those people. I'm not sure where you are, but there's something on the inside. I can separate myself from food, but I can't separate myself from hunger. Hunger is a part of who I am. God has made me, wired me, and wired you also, on the inside of your life, on the inside of your body, to desire hunger, to desire food, to hunger after the things that are around you. And hunger is directional in that it points you in a specific direction. It pointed the prodigal back towards his father's house. It points the worker, the laborer, towards the paycheck. It moves us in a specific direction. So now we come to this passage where Jesus is talking about hungering and thirsting. And he says that this hungering and thirsting has something to do with who we are, and it makes us blessable. How many of you want to be blessable this morning? I want to be a person who can be blessed by God. You know, hunger moves you. It moves you. How many of you have ever turned into the kitchen shark? You know who the kitchen shark is? It's 9:30, the kids are in bed, the wife's asleep. Suddenly, hunger rises up on the inside of you. You know, the thing about a shark is it has to keep moving, right? A shark cannot stop, otherwise it will die, right? So the kitchen shark begins on his move down through the kitchen, right? And you scoop whatever's on the counter, across the top of the counter. I confess, this is me sometimes, you know. You don't even know what you want, but you know you want something, right? Sweet, salty, crunchy, mushy, cake. You don't know what it is, but you're just going to... And you try everything. As ooh, Oreo. And you throw that in. Just keep swimming around. You turn it... Because your hunger is driving you on. It's moving you in a specific direction. You're just, oh, pretzels. You grab a few of those. That's not it, right? And after you've sampled the pretzels and the cake and the cookies and all those things, you are still full, but you are still hungry because it's been moving you along. You know what? How many of you know what the kitchen shark is now? How many now are willing to admit here before God that you have been the kitchen shark at some point? Yeah, just moving around. You notice what? You never go into the vegetable drawer. The kitchen shark just goes right by the vegetable drawer. Right? Never does. Never goes, carrots. Oh, no, not carrots. Huh? Amen? Amen. Let's tell the truth. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, have you ever been really hungry? We need to be careful when we answer that, because we have people who go to Honduras and Haiti and places like that where people are really, really hungry. People whose bellies protrude because they haven't eaten anything. Even in this country, I remember reading in a black literature class when I was in high school, a story by Richard Wright, who was so hungry as a child, they didn't have food. And so what they would do to deal with their hunger is they would put their mouth on the end of the water pump and have a buddy pump the water pump until their stomach would be so full of water and they could feel that feeling. Don't you love that feeling when you're just stuffed to the rafters? You couldn't eat another morsel. And then they would switch out. The next kid would get underneath there and they would pump and just fill the stomach with water so they could feel what it's like to be just so full. And they would. That's the hunger that we're talking about here. Not hungry like, oh, it's almost noon, I could go for some ribs. Not that kind of hunger. I'm talking about the kind of hunger that doesn't, not the kind of hunger that gets you up off the couch and makes you go and become the kitchen shark. Not the kind of hunger that makes you move because you want something to satiate some desire. I'm talking about the kind of hunger that is desperate, the kind of hunger that is ravenous. It's kind of hunger that is so deep that it is who you are now. It's become who you are. You have become the hungry one. You are a hunger because you're lacking something, and it's driving you, moving you forward. Hunger can so deeply affect a man that even in Scripture, when a man sins because he's hungry, he is held to a lesser consequence. For instance, if a person, it says in Proverbs 6, steals bread because they're hungry, that you can't punish them as you would a normal thief, because they're to the point of desperation. You can be so hungry that you're just pitiful that you would do that. But there, if you're that hungry, you will do anything, right? If you're that hungry, you will steal, beg, borrow, lie, cheat, whatever it takes to fill your gut, because hunger drives you on. There's a sense of desperation on the inside of you that moves you further. You've got to eat. You've got to put something in your belly. You've got to have it for yourself. You have to be that desperate one. You have to be that ravenous one. You have to be that hungry one. Jesus says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. He is not talking about, oh boy, I would sure like to be a little more righteous. He's talking about those of us who have a deep, ravenous, gnawing hunger on the inside of us that I've just got to be better. There are cowards in this world who have given up on being better. They say things like, I might as well go to hell, that's where all my friends go. That's because they're cowards. They've given up on trying to improve themselves, to try to grow, to try to be better. They've chosen the way of cowardice, and they will just quit. They would rather quit than try. But those of us humans who really want to see something happen in our life, we rise up recognizing this, that on the inside of our life, we have got to be better. There's got to be a hunger. There's a hunger on the inside of me that I've got to do something to acknowledge God's grace in my life, His purpose in my life. I've got to do something that's going to stir something up on the inside of me. And Jesus said, that situation is not to be pitied. That situation is to be blessed. When you are that starving, when you are that ravenous for the place of God, for the righteousness of God, when you're in that place, God has you right where He wants you, and He wants to bless you in that place. Woo! Man, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing, because we tend to think, as we grow more and more religious, we tend to think that we should be more and more satisfied. And I don't see that in Scripture. I see probably the most knowledgeable theologian of the New Testament saying things like, not that I have attained, but I press on towards the high calling. Right? I see him saying those kinds of things. I see him facing death and saying, ah, to be with Christ would be so much better. Right? I see this hunger on the inside of him for more, 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 more. I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied. Oh, Pastor, are you greedy? Yes, I am ravenously greedy for the things of God. I want more and more and more. You know, There's a story called Brusco. We have the book in our library here. About a 15-year-old who felt the call of God in his life and got on a plane in Minnesota and flew down to South America. And he flew down to South America. He was going to be a missionary down there. And so as he walked out in the jungles without any training or anything but high school Spanish, I believe, as he goes out there, then he begins to minister to people. He has so much influence over this one particular tribe, which eventually everyone in the tribe become Christian. He has so much influence over that the drug lords who are using them to smuggle cocaine up the river there, they kidnap him and hold him hostage and tie him to a tree. As they tie him to the tree, he's starving. He's so hungry. And he falls asleep in the sunlight as the sun's bathing his face. And as he falls asleep, he has a wonderful dream about how a butterfly comes and lands on his tongue. It's just a beautiful dream, how a butterfly comes to land on his tongue. And in that moment, he wakes up and he realizes that it is not a dream about a butterfly that has landed on his tongue, but rather it is the tapeworm on the inside of his stomach that has become so hungry that it has come up now into his throat and is looking around inside his mouth for something to eat. That is hungry. That is hungry. When your tapeworm is hungry, when your tapeworm is calling for takeout, you know you are hungry, right? That is hungry. It's a great book, by the way. You should read it. That is a picture of what should be on the inside of us. Something on the inside of me should be crying out for more. Something on the inside of me should always want better, deeper, truer. Jesus here is talking about not a pitiful situation, but a blessable situation. This condition is not an illness that can be fixed, but a condition that we need to learn to live in, one that's blessed. The blessing is in more than just the filling. At first reading, we sometimes think that what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty, you'll eat. Blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you'll be filled. And we think, satisfied. But that's not how it works, is it? Anybody who's ever made a Thanksgiving dinner knows that's not how it works, right? Thanksgiving at our house is hours and days of pie making and just making all kinds of food, right? Isn't that the way it is at your place, you know? And you're making all this food and you get it all, and then, you know, moms, you know how it is. You've labored, you worked your fingers to the bone and gotten bony fingers, and so now you say, okay, let's pray. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. And they begin to devour that food. And in a moment, it's done. Hours and days of work and labor are devoured in seconds, right? And you're standing back, you're aghast. How could they disrespect grandma's yam recipe by just wolfing it down so much, right? And you're shell-shocked. And then they summarily stand up and walk from the table and you're freaked out. You're like, wow. And their hunger, they are more than satisfied. They are stuffed to the gills, right? They are in pain. Oh, I need to go sit down. Yeah, that's what you should do after you eat a big meal. Go sit down. So they go, they wander in their semi-drunken state over to the couch, inebriated with the whatever the tryptophan or whatever it is in the turkey, and they fall out on the couch and turn on the ball game, and then you're left there doing the dishes, and you do the dishes, and you just about get it all ready, wrapped up. And in our house last year, I remember distinctly as the big bag of leftover turkey that you labored to get all off the carcass, that bag is heading for the refrigerator, and someone says, hey, don't put that away. Don't put that away, as if it went into the refrigerator, it would be gone forever. Don't put that away. Why? I am again hungry. Do we have any bread? And we all with horror go, oh, what a great idea. Let's make some sandwiches. That is the nature of hunger. The nature of hunger is you can fix it. Oh, in about 15 minutes, you're going to start to fix it. You'll fix your hunger, but in that moment, it will be satisfied. But immediately, it will be burning off, right? You hope, right? You're burning off. Your hope is burning off. The reason you eat like that is so that you'll have energy and blessing and life on the inside of you so that you can do the things that God wants you to do with your life. And as you do that, you create new hunger, right? This is the nature. The blessing isn't just on the filling. The blessing is on the state of being hungry. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those that are going to be filled. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You say, well, Pastor, aren't we filled with righteousness because of Christ? Yes, positionally, we are filled with the righteousness of Christ. That means when God looks at me, He sees me dressed in Christ's righteousness. But He is not fooling Himself thinking that is my righteousness. In fact, the closer I get to the righteousness of Christ, the more I realize I've got a hunger to be more like that. Right? I get closer and closer as He wraps me in His righteousness and tells me how wonderful and what a blessing He is, what blessing He has put on my life. Then I become more and more compelled and hungry and ravenous for righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's the hungry, the thirsty. It's people with the hunger that have the blessing of God on their lives. It's a desperate condition. There's something on the inside of me that says, I've got to fill this. It's desperate on the inside of me. Hungry is sometimes exclusive. Hunger sometimes has a direction that it wants to point you. It's exclusive in this. If you're hungry for ribs, a salad won't do. Right? How many of you rib lovers, and you don't know what I'm talking about? You can eat the whole salad and go, that wasn't barbecue. There wasn't nothing barbecued about that romaine lettuce. Not a thing. Not a thing. You can try to trick yourself by eating barbecue with the salad, but you will always know the salad is not barbecue. Hunger is sometimes exclusive. You just want what you want, right? It's something that's... But you could be led astray. You could be pulled off. I've learned a long time ago, I don't fight with my wife about where we're going to eat. I'm just happy that I am eating. So if she says, I don't want to go out for a barbecue, that's fine. I'll go eat some fish with you someplace. That's great, you know. But I'm still going to be wanting barbecue on the inside. On the outside, I may look compliant. But on the inside, I want what I want. That's what I want. I want the barbecue when I want the barbecue. How many of you are hungry for barbecue heading for Famous Days right after this? Right? Texting your wife right now, honey. Be ready. In a shot, we got to beat all the rest of these Christians over to Famous Days. I know how you're thinking right now. There are a million things that could drag you aside from what you're being moved to. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, picks one of those things. It could be sexuality, it could be sin, other sins. But here, he defines a specific thing for Timothy. He says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. If you are looking there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, you'll see that there are a lot of different things there that you could underline. I highlighted these in my text here, that the word temptation, the word snare, the word senseless and harmful desires, this ruin and destruction that people fall into. These are key words in these sentences because it shows us who and what is going on in our life relationship here. He says, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. In other words, what he's saying is that in the process of them moving to where they're supposed to go, to doing what they're supposed to do, Paul is worried that Timothy is going to be led astray into the pursuit of financial gain. He says earlier, godliness with contentment is great gain. But so he says there has to be something here that you can be dragged aside by. If you just turn off the monitors completely off, then I won't have that echo up here. Praise the Lord. Yes. Just turn this one off over here. Yeah. So the idea here is that the apostle is saying to Timothy, listen, you need to get a grip and make sure that you don't get pulled aside by these things, because this is a shipwrecker. This will wreck your life. This will ruin your life. If you're not careful, this will ruin your life. Listen to what he says again in the following verses. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. I want you to stop for a moment and take this as your list. What should you be pursuing? What should you be hungering for? You should be pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Wow. That's six powerful things that if you just put on your to-do list this week, just choose one each day this week, and you say, today I will pursue righteousness, and the next day I will pursue faith, and the next day I will pursue love, and you try to perfect these things in your life. You say, well, Pastor, aren't we just perfected in Jesus? Yes and no. Yes, when you stand before Him, you are perfected in Him. No, you're not, because people around you are looking for you to be the testimony, the light that shines so brightly. And so when they look at you, you want them to see something different. So Paul tells Timothy, you, O man of God, flee these things. What things? The things that will distract you, the things that will pull you aside, the things that move you away from what God wants, and pursue these things instead. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight, he says, the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith is the ability to stay hungry for these things, to keep the hunger going on the inside of you. This is what I mean when I say hunger is directional. It moves me forward. It moves me to a specific place. Now, don't be offended if I seem desperate for the things of God, because I am desperate for the things of God. Well, Pastor, shouldn't you be satisfied? No! And yes. And no! And yes. And no! I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied for me to be here where I am tomorrow. I'm not satisfied. I am satisfied that I am where I am today, but I cannot camp here. I cannot abide in this place. This is not my permanent resting ground. I cannot say, oh, it's good enough. I have to say, this is great for Sunday morning, but Sunday evening brings something different. I have to move forward. I have to move on. It's directional. It pulls us aside. It takes us away from all the things in the world. Drives us on, just keeps driving us on. People can try to fill the emptiness of the Spirit. You see, I believe every person, every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth desires to be good. I believe it. Sometimes they'll grow weary, give in to cowardice, and give up. But for the most part, we want to be good. But there are those things that we are tempted and drawn aside by that pull us out of the pursuit of righteousness, love, steadfastness, gentleness, these things. This hunger for righteousness, I can be pulled aside by little things. I don't care how hungry you are right now or what you're hungry for right now. If I had a Twinkie sitting right here and I offered it to you, even if you are a Twinkie-eating son of a gun right now, you ate that Twinkie, you would not be satisfied by that Twinkie. Number one, it doesn't taste near as good as it did when you were 8 years old. You can taste the plastic that it's made out of. You know it. The Twinkie doesn't satisfy. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, Twinkie, it doesn't satisfy. Oh, you know you wanted to call him a Twinkie the whole time. Twinkies don't satisfy. It's junk food. And there's a lot of junk food for your spirit out there. There's a lot of junk food out there for your spirit. It will not satisfy you, but it will distract you so that you don't pursue righteousness. There is a lot of spiritual junk food out there. A lot of stuff that's just Twinkies. It's not real food. Twinkies don't bring life. Twinkies don't bring life. They don't work life on the inside of you. Oh, they may taste good for a moment, right? Maybe. But they don't bring life. What God has brings life. This kind of a hunger is consuming. It starts eating us up alive. It takes away everything that we are. A good man who's starving to death will throw away his righteousness, will throw away his, physically starving to death. He will throw away his respect in the community. He'll do anything. He will shovel manure. He will take the lowest job known to mankind. You ever see dirty jobs? That show dirty jobs? People will do anything. Anything. Because it pays the bills. Right? Why? Because they're starving. Because they don't want to be starving. Ask somebody. I was going through Harrisburg this week watching. I saw where the tornadoes came through. And as I went through there, I was so blessed to see this church with this giant trailer. Life Church, it said on the side. And they had food and stacks of water. They were just passing them out to anybody and everybody. Just cases and cases of water passing them out to families out there. So blessed because it was right after the storm. There they are, bang, they're right on the job right there. That's the way the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be. Out there putting life into the world, you see. Not sitting together in here going kumbaya and having a Holy Ghost backpatting session. There are times when we come together to be strengthened in our spirit, but that's so that we can go out. The reason we eat is so we can go out and exercise the strength so that we can find the hunger again. And it's in the hungering that we are filled and blessed. It's in the hungering that we are blessed. God wants to bless us. And then, there's all these things in the Scripture that talk about contentment. How can I be totally hungry for God and content? How can I be totally? I've learned the secret, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. I've learned the secret of how to be content in every situation, whether in plenty or in want, right? Learn that secret. And so, wow, that's powerful. He's learned to be content. But you see, Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. So how can he also say, I'm going to bless you when you are hungry? Because hungry is a state of life. It is how we are supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to live this passionate life. Jesus fills us up, but we want to use what Jesus has given us to give it away to somebody else. Contentment, I think, we can say, I'm content today. I'm content for noon on Sunday. I'm content for noon on Sunday. But noon on Sunday doesn't necessarily make me content at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. Or 7 o'clock Monday morning. God, in His great power, gives us enough, but He wants us to stay hungry. Well, wouldn't it be terrible if you only had to eat once in your whole lifetime? When would you choose to eat? Huh? When would you choose? But you don't have to make the choice. See, if you only ate once, you'd have to eat one meal and it's going to last me my whole life. Wow. It'd be a heck of a meal, right? What kind of meal? What would you want in that meal? Lobster, somebody said over here, yeah? Yeah. If it's going to last a lifetime, right? But see, God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to bless you once, and that'll be good enough for the rest of your life. And that's not what He says. He says, you're going to be hungry all the days of your life. That makes you blessable. Are you hungry? The question really is, do we have a hunger on the inside? The question is, do I have hunger for God? Am I so hungry? Am I ravenously hungry? Am I starving for God? That's really the key. The key is, am I that hungry for God? Are you? Let's pray. Father, we come to church, Lord, and sometimes when we're in here, we think we're doing your business, when really we're just avoiding your business. So today I pray that you would just be up in our face about this hunger issue. May we be able to answer the question, do I have the hunger? May we be able to answer that question in the affirmative today. Would you convict us if we don't have that same kind of spiritual hunger? Forgive us for trying to tame your spirit. Forgive us for trying to tame following you into something that's so presentable and acceptable in the world. You've asked us to be radical, to be Christ followers. You've asked us to be people who march to the beat of a different drum. You've asked us, Lord, to stand out in the crowd, not as freaks or as weirdos, but as spiritually hungry and thirsty people, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This morning I say that I am so glad for all that you've done in my life. You have delivered me from so much unrighteousness, Lord, and have implanted some good stuff in my life. And I am so thankful, Lord, for the way that you rescued me. But I also recognize, Lord, that I have to have a hunger in my soul for more. For more. This is not the place of good enough. This is not the place of contentment. Lord, move me closer. Let me pursue harder. Let me chase after you. Let me pursue righteousness, faith, love, gentleness, steadfastness, endurance. Let me pursue these things, Lord. May we be pursuers of Jesus. I pray that your blessing would be on the hungry hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, work among us. I pray, Lord, that you would help to unbarricade the door in the hearts of many people, Lord. They've kept you at bay. They've said this is good enough because they don't want to be a Jesus freak. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us a total, complete sellout to what you want for our lives, Lord. Be it extraordinary or be it small. I pray for the one in this place, Lord, doesn't know you. They would come to know the truth of the Scripture, not the religion of a church. They would know the Jesus of the Scripture. I pray for those, Lord, who are here today and they find themselves in a pitiful state of not being hungry at all for you. Bring them to the place of repentance, Lord. It doesn't make any difference what other people think of us. May we be the people, Lord God, who cast aside what other people may think about us and just say, I will do whatever it takes to draw close to you. Whether it's approved or rejected by those around me, it makes no difference, Lord. I just want to do what pleases you. And you've called me to be hungry, Lord. I pray that you would bless the hungry hearts in this place, Lord. You promised fullness, Lord. But Lord, you also told us that our fullness would only happen as it relates to our hunger. So keep us hungry, Lord. Satisfy us, but only momentarily, so we can keep coming back to you for more satisfaction. I pray in Jesus' name that you will see through our religious facade today and see who we really are. We pray in Jesus' name for that.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. We'd love to help you further as you grow in Christ. May God bless you. Come out and visit us at Christian Life Center, 3409 South Grove, Berwyn, Illinois. Or check us out on the web, www.berwynag.org.